couple of verses that come from the account of the Acts of the Apostles. These two verses are essentially the punchline or the end of the story of the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit rushed in, people spoke in tongues, they understood each other, high drama. The story ends with these words. So those who received this word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So after the high drama, 3,000 souls saved, the revival tent taken down, they devoted themselves to the business of ministry. They began to continue settled in. There's actually a technical term for the season of the church year that goes roughly between Memorial Day and Thanksgiving, apart from the seasons of Advent and Lent and Easter and all of that. The technical term for the 6 months or so, other than the festivals, is ordinary time. Not too technical, is it? On the face of it, makes perfect sense. We're about halfway through ordinary time. For me, I don't really get settled into ordinary time until about now. Starting on around Memorial Day, well, it's summertime and exciting things happen, and then school starts. Labor Day, school, we get settled in. We've gotten 2 weeks worth in at Tech and things are settled down. Our time of getting settled was delayed a little bit with an injured grandchild, but she's now settled down. So it's feeling more to me like ordinary time. A time where it seems like we have more choice and control over the way our day moves than being directed by other things, like having to put out fires or some such. So the question becomes, how does the work of ministry proceed and even grow as we make choices and decisions during ordinary time? Well, I think, first of all, I want to think of and imagine the sort of big issues that are in your life more or less all the time. You know, maybe it's aging parents or kids in transition or any manners of such things that are sort of always there but not necessarily high drama at the moment. Or maybe it's, for me, it's just ongoing deadlines for things I have to write. There's always something I have to write. There's always a deadline coming up. They're sort of like elephants in the room to me. Well, ordinary time, when we're not pressed or directed into activity by a pressing need, gives us a chance to, well, answer the riddle. How do you eat an elephant? Do you know? One bite at a time. Ordinary time gives us a chance to take one bite out of the elephant. That's enough. It'll be there. And you'll continue and make progress. From time to time, I force myself to do things by making public commitments to do them. And today, I'm going to make another public commitment to take one bite out of a silly little elephant in my life. If you were to look at my desk at Texas Tech, or even my desk at my home office, it's not terribly cluttered. I don't like working in cluttered space. So even the piles of things that are on my desk at home are generally fairly neatly ordered. And there's almost nothing on my desk at work. Don't look in the drawers. I have an unusable dresser because there's so much junk in the drawers. No kidding. I was going through my desk at work about a month ago, and I found a letter that I got from Deidre in 1994 inviting me to come and preach here for the first time. I still have the stupid letter. It's in a drawer. I will make a commitment this week to clean out one drawer in my life, to honor ordinary time as a metaphor for taking one bite out of the elephant. Progress. I think that's, in part, the purpose of ordinary time, to give us a little more, you know, on top of rather than underneath the elephants in our life. You eat them one bite at a time, take one bite this week. Secondly, ordinary time gives us generally a better opportunity to prioritize our own day. I mean, we wake up in the morning every day and we have a list of things we want to get done. We can pretty much decide in what order they're going and what comes first, as it were. I would suggest that for the purpose of edifying life together, life in ministry, when we make those priorities, we put people ahead of paperwork. That was not an original idea. I ran across a book the other day called The Top 10 Mistakes That Leaders Make by a guy named Hans Finzel. Chapter 2 of that book is entitled, literally, Putting Paperwork Before People Work, one of the top 10 mistakes leaders make. It's an interesting thing here. He says he's devised a test to determine if you are task or people-oriented. Quoting now, when someone walks into your office or wherever you happen to work or wherever you happen to be, it doesn't matter, when someone approaches you and interrupts what you're doing for the sake of conversation, how do you react? Do you view that person as an interruption or an opportunity? Does your face brighten as your people antenna powers up, or do you grimace inside at the interruption? If you relax and converse until the chat has a natural closure, you're obviously a people person. But if you press to squirm your way out of the conversation with a bombardment of verbal and nonverbal clues, then you are one of us, the dreaded type A's. He's got a practical list for how to prioritize these things in a more helpful way. He says, one, love your wastebasket. You don't have to read everything that lands on your desk. Of course not. You don't have to read everything that comes into your email box. Really? Do lunch away from work. Take time off with your coworkers, spouse, children, and friends. Pray for people. Change locations. Delegate. Learn to ransack instead of reading everything. See people as priority one. In ordinary time, take one bite out of the elephant. Put people ahead of paperwork. And see what happens to your view of your world, and certainly your take on what kind of day you're having. And thirdly, I think ordinary time gives us a chance to build a reserve of emotional energy and strength. We will need to draw on that reserve when the elephant falls on top of us, or when a fire breaks out here or there in our lives. But we can do that quite literally. There's a bunch of guys in this town that get together for coffee at 10 o'clock every morning. That's building an emotional reserve. Sitting around, telling stories, telling lies, doesn't matter. They took time out to do that. People who are even shut in will sometimes strengthen themselves emotionally by looking through the scrapbooks of places they've been, people they've loved, times when this happened or that, remembering in mind a moment when they were strong, and called back through the assembly of pictures. Planning an outing, planning an encounter, planning a celebration dinner with someone. All of these things that take us out of the drudgery of routine and put us in connection with people help build an emotional reserve. And we can even do this almost in isolation. It's a kind of meditative exercise I learned many, many years ago when I attended a workshop on something called neuro-linguistic programming. Don't have to remember that part. But one of the things we learned was an actual mind trick called anchoring. We were taught that if you can recall to mind in as vivid a detail as possible a moment or event or encounter that was especially pleasing or that gave you a great deal of strength, and almost meditatively recite in your mind, what was it, where was it, what color was it, when was I there, what day of the week, and at the same time put the two fingers together and sort of with as much detail as possible anchor that into your consciousness. What you can then do, even without thinking, when you need an emotional lift, simply touching the fingers together will trigger the endorphins in your brain that are attached to that event, and then you remember it again. Just an example of how ordinary time can be used, even intentionally, to build emotional strength. Because we will need it. Not all of our ordinary days become extraordinary in positive ways. We learn things that are not so helpful, that are no fun whatsoever. And we also have encounters that take us back to the mountaintop. But in the aftermath of the mountaintop of Pentecost, the disciples went about their business. They went about their business of living together with one another, learning to love and share, taking care of details. Always, however, I believe, most helpfully, eating the elephant one bite at a time, prioritizing people over process, and using ordinary time to rebuild, to refuel, to gain strength for the life together, the work of ministry, for the love of family and friendship. Ordinary time. Amen.